1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We got a great show here today. We got two returning guests, two veterans, and then two brand new guys. It's going to be pretty exciting. As always, we've got producer Julian over here.
How's it going?
Taking names, chewing gum, tickling keys. Yeah, dude, you're killing it.
Yeah.
May or may not have show notes, Benny, off to my right in an empty expanse of nothingness that goes back into nightmare and imagination. But it takes notes for the show, which is cool. And then we got returning guest from a week ago. Hasn't changed his clothes. We've got Pierce. We've got brand new to the show, Lionel. Mm-hmm. We've got Michael Lyons from Dancing with the Stars, the audience of Dancing with the Stars. And we've got Alyssa in-house today. So super excited to have you guys. Yeah, it's going to be a good show.
I hope everybody's ready with some fun facts today.
We're going to do fun facts. Yeah. We're going to get into pilgrimages today. Yeah. Everybody's got a cool pilgrimage story. I have one that's like 20 years old, right? But and maybe an invitation, I think, Alyssa, you're going to do here in a minute. But before we do, somebody's got to start us off in prayer. Does anybody want to volunteer?
Come Michael, was there a volunteer? I was going to volunteer somebody.
Michael does everything. Is there anything that you don't do well, Mr. Lyons?
A lot of things, but I'll get through the prayer. Let's do this.
All right, I trust you.
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for the blessings of the pilgrimages that we're going to talk about. Thank you for the blessings of those who are running the show. Help us talk about what it is that you want us to talk about it. And it's in your name we offer this up to our Mother Mary over here on the right as we see her here. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I'm not allowed to rate. I don't know if they told you that. I'm not allowed to rate prayers anymore. I can't give them grades. Apparently, that's not appropriate. But if I were to give you one, which I'm not going to do right now. No, I was going to give you like a solid like 86, 87.
I'll take that.
Yeah, totally.
Because I wasn't a youth minister, so I can't be the top tier. But I was a core member, so I can like...
Were you a core member?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
And I realized that the coolest youth minister I ever met was at a life team... men's retreat, and it was a guy who was special forces. He was like ex-special forces. Like, you get sent to another country and your family can't know where you are.
Yeah.
Big burly, just ripped guy, but he's wearing the Chacos, like totally youth minister. I'm like, what's your story? He goes, well, this is my life, and after I got done, I figured God told me he wanted me to do youth ministry.
Awesome.
Well, I would have liked to be your young equipped
for it. Yeah, that's awesome. That's good.
That's not me, so.
That can count as your fun fact if you want it to be.
That was my pretend fun fact. Okay, that's my fun fact of the person that I met that I would like to be one day.
Okay, I like that. Thanks. What about you, Pierce? You got another fun fact for us? You just owe us one this time.
Okay, that's perfect. I've got one, and so you guys might know who this is. Are you guys familiar with... I'm one person removed from Joe Rogan in my friend group. I say friend loosely. A few years ago, I was at a restaurant in Atlanta, and a guy walked in named Alex Jones.
Like the Alex Jones?
Like the globalist conspiracy, like that.
Did you hear that The Onion just bought InfoWars?
Yeah.
I thought it was a joke at first. I saw The Onion.
We drank the night away when I was not Christian. So, you know.
And Alex Jones?
We did drink it. We drank it at Hooters. And that's what we did.
Are you still in touch?
No.
You don't ever text back and forth or anything?
He and I are on way different levels right now. But yeah, he's thriving again once Onion buys him out. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But yeah, we drank together. That was a wild time. I'll show you later. I have a photo.
I want to see a photo so bad. I don't know how good he's doing.
Yeah. It's still a cool story.
Dude, he's still hyping my mom up every night. She's like, dude, they're coming. she's so scared.
You know, we've had to turn Joe Rogan away several times to be on the show, but now that we've got someone that can vouch for him,
that's right.
I think we can maybe get him on now.
I just don't want to travel. That's what it is, mainly.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of, I don't know if election results will be out by the time this airs because the election hasn't happened yet. But I really think, this is my personal opinion, Kamala Harris really screwed up by not going on that show. I think she probably should have. We'll see how things go on election night. I feel like I've said this before.
feel like Trump's probably going to pull it out. And yep. I think Joe Rogan may have missing that was a big opportunity missed by the Harris campaign.
Yeah, and it just so happens that the Onion purchase of Alex Jones show was delayed.
No, I got a lot of, so we got a lot of secret knowledge about the Onion acquiring InfoWars. It is late October right now here at the Quest.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
People. All right, what have you got, Leonel? Tell us about you. You have three though. Sorry, they only have to do one because they're veterans. But this is your first time, so you have three.
Okay. So my three facts are: I speak Spanish, I play the violin, and I sing.
Can you do them all at the same time? Yeah, you could. You could sing in Spanish while playing the violin, right?
That would be hard. Yes, yeah. It can, but it's a lot of like critical thinking.
Do you play like the violin or do you play like the fiddle? I mean, it's the same instrument.
The violin, like orchestra.
Like orchestra. Cool.
Like orchestra. I've been in 4 years in my high school. I've done it. Two semesters last year in Philharmonic Orchestra, and then I'm doing choir because that's like getting my degree in music education.
Oh, that's super cool. Yeah. Okay, I dig it. I have a daughter right now who really, really wants to play the violin.
Yeah.
I just don't want to buy a violin. That's my...
I saw them on the Facebook Marketplace, uh-huh. Get algorithms. Yeah. One reason I saw there was a $100 violin, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Not that I played a lot of violin, nor will I ever buy one, but now I'm seeing all these violins that are sub-$150. Marketplace.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, if you buy one like those, they're pretty decent.
I see something a 10-year-old girl can decide if she likes to do this with.
Yeah. That a starter. Now, if somebody, let's say, wants to more compete or whatnot, or participate in an orchestral setting, then they'd probably have to invest in a little bit more expensive one. That I'm still paying off my violin. That is like $1,000.
Yeah, my dad plays in a bluegrass band and has for like 50 years, and they've got a fiddler, right? He would not call himself a violinist, but it's the coolest thing in the world. My daughter goes and hangs out at his restaurant and watches his band play, and she's just like that. My boy plays guitar, but she's all about the violin.
Once you put a lip in, it turns from a violin to a fiddle.
That is actually the rule. Not a lot of people know that. That is actually the limit. Yeah, I like that. What about you, Alyssa? Give us three fun facts. Who are you? Tell us about you.
I paint.
Nice.
And I can make a sound out of my mouth.
Thank you.
me too. But is yours particularly interesting?
Like a trumpet or a siren.
Okay, well, you have to do it.
No, you have to do it.
Yeah, she does it. Now she's good.
Which one?
A siren. It's not bad. That's not bad. I like it. I dig it.
E-natural.
He has perfect pitch. So.
Yeah, I have perfect pitch, so... She tells me I can decipher.
That's your fun fact. That's
that's awesome.
I could have said.
You can't give him a fourth fun fact. That's not how this works, Alyssa.
And my third one is I can sing like the tune of a song, but the wrong lyrics.
Okay, yeah. like a Weird Al Yankovic kind of thing.
Yeah,
or?
Pretty much.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie. I was he's one of the only people. I'm not a big concert guy. I've seen Weird Al in concert before. Best concert. Puts everybody else to shame. Anybody ever seen him in concert?
I want to.
Is that Paradise?
Dude, it's amazing. Like the best showman. Like he changes. He's got a full fat suit for fat. He's got all. Yeah. This episode of Honest to God is actually brought to you by Weird Al Yankovic. He's got his upcoming international tour. So check that out. I don't know the name. Not yet released. But we've got we got some tickets available. So like this, and you have the opportunity to win some. Talk to producer Julian for details.
I don't know anything about that, but I do have a fun fact today.
No way.
Yeah, so elephants.
Oh, come on. I'm so sick of these.
Nobody
cares. All right, go ahead.
Elephants can hold up to 2.5 gallons of water in their trunk.
Really?
Yeah. Fun fact.
That's cool. Okay. That's neat. That's kind of neat. Yeah. I watched a video of a baby elephant falling asleep while staying up the other day.
Aww. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, the internet's so lame. I do so much more productive stuff with my life, and instead I've watched endless stupid video that, going back to the algorithm, that just feeds me like an animal. I just like sit there like, oh, haha, oh, it's so dumb. It's so dumb. I hate it so much, but it was really cute.
Yeah, I'm glad you agree.
So we're not going to talk about elephants today. We're going to talk about pilgrimages. I was trying to do some sort of segue to that, but.
Oh, but all that you have to say is perhaps some of our pilgrims have ridden on an elephant. While they were on a pilgrimage.
I was on a pilgrimage in the Holy Land. I rode on a camel one time. That was pretty cool. Oh. Camels are kind of like elephants. They've got feet.
Is Harvard dropping in ratings?
They are. Yeah, the Harvard School for Segways. Yeah. But no, I want to dig into this in particular. I want to start by I don't know. I want to sort of end, if you're okay with it, Alyssa, with sort of the pitch you have before we get to the end of this half. But I don't want to kick off with that. I want to start sort of big picture. Why do we go on pilgrimages? What's the point of a pilgrimage? Because I feel like, and maybe this is just my cynical, jaded take, right? A lot of times in the 21st century, pilgrimages to me feel like you have a lot of money and you want to take pictures of yourself doing fancy things in a place and tell all your friends how cool you are. And that's coming, once again, probably from my brokenness, because if I were on a pilgrimage, I feel like half my pilgrimage, I would be like, I got to make sure I record this so everybody can think I'm super cool for going on this pilgrimage. So stripping away that cynical jadedness, why do we do this? What is the point of going somewhere where something important happened some other time for us to hang out? Like, what's the idea? What are some thoughts?
Give you a thought. I don't know if it's right.
Yeah, think. Think out loud.
I think similar to when you go to Mass, people go and they say, what am I getting out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's often how pilgrimages are viewed. What am I getting out of this?
Right.
You know, what pictures am I getting? What experiences am I getting? Mm-hmm. What am I doing for this? But the purpose can and should be flipped, and this is saying as a hypocrite doing the other way as well,
right.
Is what am I giving or what am I sacrificing for this? So
that's
interesting. When you go into the Mass, you know, what was it, I forgot which saint it was, but he said, oh no, it wasn't a saint, it was author of Lord of the Rings.
Tolkien.
Yeah.
He said to his son, I hope you don't go into the Mass that it's great if you can have a great priest, but I hope you go to one that is dry, has a terrible priest, and, you know, basically nothing that's fulfilling for you, so that you can go and basically sacrifice and bring something to
that
time.
I like that so much,
so,
actually. Yeah.
I'd say for the pilgrimage, it's ideally, and I still strive to do this fully one day, is you do it for that sacrifice. You do it something so you can, you know, give up, or you go somewhere, you give up that time to be able to go and give that homage to the, you know, apparition or whatever might be there.
Yeah, not to, like, history nerd out on this, but I always think, when I think about pilgrimages, and I'm a big history guy, right? I teach history. I've got a degree in history. I do really dig history. I think about the Crusades were presented as a pilgrimage. It was, we're going to go on a pilgrimage, and you're probably going to die, and it's going to be awful, and you need to sell everything that you have so you can go to a miserable place and die a horrible death. That's kind of the perfect pilgrimage, right? That's kind of the idea, right? Now, obviously, I'm not suggesting that we all go wild on pilgrimages with the purposes of, you know, giving up everything we have and dying a terrible death. But I think that is a necessary part that gets lost because, yeah, like you said, if you're going there for self-fulfillment, I always think about, when talking about masses, going to Mass at a church in the Archdiocese on Christmas Day, I don't know, 10 or 11 years ago, no, longer than that, 14 years ago, because my son was a baby, right? And when we walked in, it was Christmas Mass, we got there late. It was awful. It was standing room only in the narthex. It was terrible. Super crowded by all these people. This was like right after they changed the words to the Mass to make them like more legit again. And nobody back there knew any of the right words. And I'm this scandalized like 23-year-old Catholic holding a baby with my new wife just thinking this is awful. And a woman walks in to the narthex, stands there, looks around, and says, this isn't very fulfilling, and turns around and leaves.
Oh, no.
And it was the most gut punch of it. This is so awful that I've experienced. And I definitely did not have that take, right? The more mature spiritual take of, yeah, but this isn't about me
right
then. But I should have. I think that's a good one. So why are all you people here? I'm going to say this as offensively as possible. Why the heck why are you qualified to be on this show about pilgrimages? What are you even doing here?
Prove yourself. Go.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, I don't know really why. I so happen to be like a friend of mine, like Elsie, like we're good, like we're just at the Catholic Center, and then she reached out to Janice. Janice, like, I didn't know this was the quest. And then I come to find out, oh, this is the same. I have the quest thing like that on my fridge.
Oh, we appreciate that.
And little would I know that I would be here. And I'm kind of been like, maybe one day I'll talk, or I just kind of socked off on my mind and be like, I might, I don't know. And then next you know, I get a text that says, hey, I'm from Janice. Elsie gave me your number. And then it's about, and it said pilgrimage and stuff. I was like, I've been planning in my head. I'm like, Lord, I need to tell this story I had from Italy at some point, pilgrimage like I did in I did a whole like 9 days in Italy, seeing all this different.
Why did you go to Italy?
It was like a pilgrim. I went with like the intent was like I want to see where the church has all this history, all of like the saints, what I've learned, and see where the church is, and see the Pope, our Holy Father, Pope Francis. Little would I know that I would go, because little that would I know that night that I would receive a big massive donation. And it was the last day to register. Now, I've been thinking about it for so long, and I was like, Lord, I want to go, but I just don't have the means for it.
Right.
And I know people from the parish are very like generous. There was this parishioner like that she graciously donated a big mass amount. And I don't know much how much it was. And
I don't mean so much logistically. What was the idea? Why did you want to go to Italy to begin with? Right, with this whole idea of a pilgrimage and what they're for and how they're different than a vacation.
Well, pilgrimage more like to learn, and also nurture yourself spiritually, and also be with the body of Christ.
Yeah, I dig it.
Be with around brothers and sisters. And be also with people that believe the same thing and also want to experience the Lord, live an encounter.
Yeah. Going kind of down that, Pierce, you hinted the last time you were on about what you recently got back from. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I went to the Camino de Santiago in Spain. It was my first time leaving the country, and so that was like a challenge of its own, just the idea that I was going to get on a plane and survive. I'm terrified of planes, and so that was my pilgrimage just to get there.
Right.
It was terrifying. But a priest that I had gone to my first mass, that he was leading the mass that day, he had helped me come into the faith, so I didn't see him from that first mass until I became confirmed. And then he just hugged me. He's like, hey, you got to come to Camino. I thought it was a charity thing because we were doing Holy Saturday.
Wait, did you say the priest you hadn't seen from your first Mass?
I never saw him again until Holy Saturday when I'd already become Catholic.
Wait, is this the St. Patrick's Breastplate Mass?
Yes,
100%. That you mentioned last episode? No 100%. Way. That's so cool.
Yeah, so the same priest there was like, he hugged me. We were on Holy Saturday. I was like, if you remember me, he's like, of course. And I'm like, I'm Catholic now. And he hugs me. He goes, you got to come to Camino. And I thought it was a service event. So I was like, sure, I'll sign up. He goes, yeah, do you have a passport? I was like, for what? What are we doing? And I had no idea what it was. I'd never done a pilgrimage. But I knew that there was something that that the Catholics had done throughout history. And this had to do with St. James, where he's buried at the Camino. So we did the last Compostela, the last 100. We did 140 kilometers, which is 90 miles, not as cool sounding. And we hiked all the way there with about 40 people from Atlanta in the 20s and 30s group. Two priests were leading the way. And a consecrated woman was leading with us too. And we hiked there. So I wanted to do it to immerse myself into more of the Catholic experience. I wanted to be, you know, to be on a pilgrimage and do that and experience that. And along the way, I did find that, you know, I grew in a community and made 40 friends. So it was awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
You know the cool thing about the Camino is?
What's that?
Is that you can basically almost never do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it starts there and then it spreads into, I haven't even finished it, but I started in the Puy en Velay. And when I first heard, I would do it at like sprints. I had a professor from college who was like, I'm going to do this. And like, okay, I'll fly in when you're hiking the whole month. I'll just fly in for a week and wherever you're at, I'll pick up. And I met this, I was me and it's like kid in Gandalf, this older guy, me and we met this other like 18-year-old who started in Munich in the winter.
Oh, whoa.
Like in the Black Forest or something. And he just went through there. Then there's Portugal route. There's another route. So
I didn't know that. I didn't know that it was outside of Spain. I thought it was just
So like, I've only done like a little part of the Spanish, but it's cool because if you did the end of it and you liked it, you can have all these different types of both spiritual, but also the community experiences, but in different countries.
Yeah,
and then people, and then what's fun is if you like invite back, like, hey, you met from that 40-person group, there might be three who go, I'm gonna go do the Portugal way, or I'm gonna go in France, it's called Le Chemin,
right?
Like the way, but in French, Le Chemin. So they, instead of saying Buen Camino, they say Bon Chemin. And so it's the same type of thing.
So you've done it too. You've done the Camino?
I've did that. I would say like that's a pilgrimage. I didn't necessarily go on it as you know, I turned it into a little pilgrimage. It was more of an adventure with my Gandalfian professor. But and he's not religious, but he has an appreciation for religion as a culture. But I'm religious, so I did that. I have a different pilgrimage experience that we can talk about later. But I've been talking enough. So I want to turn on the lesson here about.
I'm sorry, you've kind of been off over there in the corner. We want to hear from you.
I love listening. So this is great to hear.
Well, back to the same rude question. Why are you here, Alyssa? What are you even doing here?
Well, actually, me and Leonel went on a mission trip to Christ in the City in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, we're both college students, and we honestly, we're not rich. We don't have money.
No.
We had to fundraise, and it was honestly really hard, but, and it was during our spring break.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, having fun with friends off at a beach or, like, going on a mission trip.
Yeah.
It was hard to choose, but I really...
Not even a mission trip to somewhere terribly exciting. No, I'm not knocking Philly. I'm just saying.
Which is actually like, kind of a really cool aspect of that.
What's that?
That it's, like, not the place that you would...
No, that's what I'm saying. It's one thing to, like, and we're going to take like a beach day in Jamaica while we're on this mission trip. But it's like, no, it's going to be Philly. It's going to look just like Philly everywhere we go.
Yeah. Well... When I said yes, I didn't know where we were going.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, I like these people I'm going with, so I might as well just go. Because it was just, I honestly wouldn't change it. The amount of money it was, which was like $1,000.
Right.
Honestly, I thought it was $15,000.
Oh.
And I still said yes. Yeah. I really felt called to just go and follow with my friends.
That's cool. What'd you guys do there? Because I do want to dig into this idea about the difference, and maybe there's not one. And I would love for some. I'd love to hear some of my thoughts on it between a mission trip and a pilgrimage, because I think there's absolutely aspects of both that should be present in either, right? But I don't know if there's a line of distinction. I don't know if it matters, right? I think the self-sacrifice component is something that's super important, and I want to talk in a little bit about how. This is something that we're called to regardless of our state in life, regardless of whether or not we can fundraise to go do a thing, right? Because I think in a huge way, going and visiting the old woman who lives down the street from you who doesn't have anybody who ever comes visits her is kind of a mission trip and kind of a pilgrimage and kind of unpleasant, and that's really beautiful and good. So I don't know. Is there a distinction?
I think the distinction would be the pilgrimage is you're going to a holy location. I think both, where there's similarities, is that you do, I believe, feel called to one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a calling that comes from you, or it can be an inadvertent call.
Yeah.
I know that my pilgrimage, actually, I've been wearing this for a long time, it's from Fatima, probably one of the most impactful experiences of my life that I didn't set out to go and do. It's like I had a prayer that was not totally related, and God answered through a pilgrimage that I wasn't planning to begin pilgrimage at first. It was my wife saying, oh, while we're in Europe doing this trip,
yeah,
let's take a picture with the chateau. I'm like, okay, well, it's finishing in Fatima. My wife saying, been having this calling towards Fatima. Okay, great. And then we ended up there, but we said, while we're there, like, let's make this our own pilgrimage, where as we're going through and making our way through, let's be intentional. Let's start saying the rosary every single day as a couple. Let's pray intentions for everything else. And there was some really cool miracles and prayer and prayers answered from that. But and I'll love to share about that later in the episode, but I think the point of this question is, like, you're called to it.
Right.
You have to, like, listen to, like, what is the call? And there's a reason why you're being called to a mission trip or to a pilgrimage, even though you might think it's coming from you.
We have good friends of ours who took a pilgrimage to Our Lady of La Leche Chapel in St. Augustine, right? I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but it's a chapel dedicated to Our Lady of La Leche. Angie and I, my wife and I, in college, we got to go to the Holy Land, right? And I totally viewed it as a vacation, right? It's this super, we're going to go to this super cool place, right? And basically the idea behind it is there's this cave where Mary stopped on her way from, like, fleeing Bethlehem, right? And breastfed Jesus, and it's this cave that dedicated to Our Lady. And the story goes that a drop of breast milk falls on the ground, all the cave walls are white, and it's this beautiful, it's this place you're supposed to go, especially if people are struggling from fertility issues. But it's similar, like, talking about Fatima, this the woman who was this couple, right, who was much more in touch with, right, I guess much more spiritually mature as our wives often are, right, said, no, no, this is what we're doing. You have a week of vacation. We're going to St. Augustine, Florida, and we're going to Our Lady of La Leche, and that's where we're going to pray, and that's where we are going to find out that we're having a baby. And it happened.
Wow.
It's so cool. Yeah. It's wow. so beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that distinction is interesting and worthwhile, but I really do feel like it has to do so much with prayer and what's on our heart and being open to the Lord. I think that you have tremendous benefits on both sides.
Alyssa, because you didn't go into the mission that much, but was there a prayer that mission kind of answered directly or indirectly beforehand? You might have had a prayer beforehand where you had, usually like, I was praying for this, or I kind of was praying for this, but then this answered this prayer in a way that you may or may not have expected.
Yeah, it was mostly I didn't want to think about myself during this trip. And I just really just wanted to give. I was like, Lord, please. And at the end of the trip, or not trip, but mission, I did. It was more like when we arrived there, I just felt so loved by the community, Christ in the City. Just like, they loved us without even knowing us. And I just thought it was so cool, and it was scary.
Right.
Because it's like, I guess I set out my heart for this mission, but I didn't really realize that I was going to expect this. And it really healed like a deep part of my heart.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to...
Yeah. We've only got about 90 seconds left, but what about you, Lionel? Did you have anything? Because you were on that same mission with her, right?
Yeah.
Did you have any intentions going in? Did you have any sort of a transformative experience on the other side?
Well, it was a little bit like, for me, it was more so feeling the Lord's like love, but also seeing that everybody's like doing the will of God. We're called to be saints. Mm-hmm. And for me, seeing a different aspect of how people live, seeing how everybody's life is so unique and so different, but everyone's goal is to focus on the Lord, and to see that happen, it like filled my heart with joy and worth to keep going, because there'll be times where like I'm just hitting the wheels, like I'm just going through the motions, like I'm going to Mass and doing all that, but like it kind of felt a reminder, like no, I really am like a believer. And it felt like a reminder, like, hey, the Lord said, no, keep going. Keep serving my church. And for me, that felt like, I don't think I've ever been so rejoiced for me in that mission trip. So, like, I still get flashbacks on that time. Like, when I see, like, Philly or just see, like, the picture, I'm like, I get reminded by the Lord's infinite divine mercy and graces and having their... it just filled my heart with
warmth. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. All right, we're gonna pick up on some more of this here in a second. Unfortunately, we do have to take a really quick break, but then we're going to dive back in. I want to hear some more details and get into some of this. And I want to talk about it practically, too, and how we can do that closer to home. Stay tuned, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We were talking about pilgrimages, mission trips, etc. today. We got a rock star crew. We got Pierce. We got Lionel. We got the Michael from Dancing with the Stars in the house. And we've got Alyssa here. I'm really sorry I keep bringing that up, Michael. I promise that's the last time. I'm done. I'll never bring it up again.
Taking credit for my twin brother.
It's really funny. I want to jump right back in because I think I realized in the first half, when we talked a little bit off air, this is a pretty tremendously gigantic topic, right? Being going places for the sake of others and or yourself and or the church and or your faith, and right? And so I want to do my best to sort of structure this in some way, because this could be 12 different episodes. But Michael had a really good suggestion off air a minute ago. I think what would be the best thing in the world would be to open up with some miracle stories related to pilgrimages, related to mission trips. And I want to start by talking about a miracle that they're usually available throughout the entire year, right? At different times, depending on your bishop, right? Depending on the jurisdiction that you're in, your diocese. But plenary indulgences, right? Right now, I'm not sure when this is going to be airing. Probably not in November, right?
Probably not in November, no.
But an example everybody needs to know, in November, there's an indulgence offered every year, I believe throughout at least the entire United States, if not the entire church, right? An indulgence offered for going and praying in a graveyard, right?
We did that last year, this November.
We used to go to a little Baptist cemetery by my house, and we would, in November, and we would always say, dude, nobody's ever prayed for these guys, probably. Very few people are praying for these souls. We're going to get in here. We're going to do it. Hopefully, we're going to make it to heaven with them and be getting high fives and like, thanks, man, for helping me out there or whatever. But, and the reason I'm bringing that up, and then I wanted to get into some more big picture stuff with bigger miracle stories than I'm sure we have, but is because it's so simple and it's so easy and it's so good. And when we're talking about mission trips, when we're talking about pilgrimages, it's a beautiful thing to sell everything you own and go on an adventure somewhere or to fundraise. That's so good. That's so beautiful. But there's so much we can do in an extra 2 hours we have in an afternoon, right? Even if it's something like signing up for a holy hour is 100% a pilgrimage that we can do that is inconvenient and it should be, and that's good, and it's for something other than ourselves. So I wanted to throw that out there, and now I would love to kind of open it up. Miracle stories related to mission trips or pilgrimages.
I didn't even know that those were a thing until maybe 2 years ago. I did the first one last year, and it felt good. I was actually...
The indulgence?
You said you don't have to travel anywhere, but I was already in Florida just for something else.
Yeah.
My friend told me, hey, you get this indulgence for going to a cemetery. I was like, okay.
Done.
So I just Google mapped. And it was you know, an hour before I needed to be at a thing. And you go to a cemetery. It's next to a 7-Eleven. Weirdest little place.
Great.
And yeah, you'd pray for the indulgence and, you know, pray for that point. I prayed for a cousin who had passed away unexpectedly, who, you know, the lifestyle probably wasn't, you know, as we would think. But who knows? You know, I'd love to see high-fiving in heaven because of that.
Yeah. I love it. I was talking the other day. I actually had a cousin who passed away. I'm going to a funeral tomorrow. And I was talking at work about that. And we were talking about the indulgences and all of that. And I said to all these women who I work with, I was saying, ladies, assuming I die before you do, at my funeral, please don't make it a canonization ceremony. Y'all stand up there and beg. Say, y'all go and pray for this man's soul. He is a sinner. You can say nice things about me, whatever. But end with, he's a sinner. We're hoping he's in purgatory. Y'all get out there. We've heard about get out the vote, get out the prayer, right? Get this guy up there. And go into a seminary, or a cemetery, 15 minutes. Knock it out, man. It's good for you. It's good for their souls. It's good for your soul, frankly. Yeah. Yeah. What else?
I like that. So apparently we got a plenary indulgence as well for doing a Compostela of the Camino. And
oh, cool.
I was revealed to that knowledge whenever I was actually on the trip. So I had no idea. I didn't even know that indulgences were something that we could get for that. And so it was really cool to know that what it means. You know, I grew up, again, not a Catholic.
Right.
So
indulgence was a dirty word.
We thought
probably.
It was horrible. Yeah, 100%. I had no idea that even Luther after the Reformation still held to indulgences, just not the ones that were being illegally done where they had to pay money for it.
Which, we're sorry about that. All right, that was a little too far. We should have done it. It was one time.
Wander under the
time. I mean, it was a lot, but in a short period of time.
100%. Yeah. No, it was great to get to go and to do what little sufferings we had to do in the short term to get to feel that like weight lifted off of me was really cool.
Right.
And that's what I liked about the trip was among many things, being able to kind of fight for this on earth so that the effects and the noetic effects of the fall are coming off of me before death.
That's awesome. Yeah. Could I tell a clear miracle story that shows the presence of Mary?
Not yet. Ooh.
Oh. Not yet. All right.
Not yet. Apparently we're,
Not yet.
And there's a reason. Does anybody else have any other indulgence stories or that? And then we'll go. Okay. So I just have a quick plug. If you are listening in the car, I want you to pull over your car right now and go onto the YouTube. That is Honest to God YouTube.com/honesttogod. That is the number 2, not T-O. And like this video and put a comment down below, especially if you've been on a pilgrimage in the last 5 years. If it's 6, I don't want to know. 5 years, comment down below where you went on that pilgrimage. If you know somebody that's been on a pilgrimage, send them this video and encourage them to comment on it as well. We are trying to get this message out there, and the way that the algorithms work, they want to see comments, they want to see likes, and then they send it to other people. So help us out. Help out your fellow brothers and sisters.
If you do that, you will get an indulgence.
I cannot comment on that.
That is not from the human. That is a lie. I don't give you right. For the literal nothing it's worth. Get an indulgence from
perhaps
me.
One day we may get that authority to offer indulgences for comments and likes, but I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right, what were you saying, Michael? I really want to hear the story.
Yeah, I do want to.
So when I alluded before that we went to Fatima. My wife had made it a thing, and so we collected prayer intentions on our way leading up to about 10 days, so to the point where we had more intentions than we were saying it took to say the rosary, but yeah. We're on vacation.
Right.
Pilgrimage.
Yeah.
For me, it was more vacation at the time. But one of the prayers that I had going, just in general, was saying, hey, all these saints, they have a dedication, or they have a, what am I blanking right now? The word, they
patrons, they, or
they love Mary.
Oh, sure, devotion.
They have a devotion. Thank you. All the saints basically have a devotion to Mary, and I'm like, I get it logically, but I don't actually understand it. So when we went to Fatima, we there were a bunch of prayer intentions, and two of them were one. There was a little girl who needed liver surgery, so there was a couple people who were praying for her. I said, okay, add her to the prayers. She needed like liver replacement. And then another friend who actually brought me really into the Catholic faith, grown up Catholic, but really brought me into it. She was struggling for kids, her and her husband.
Yeah.
And so she said, no, you know, just an expansion of her family. We got to Fatima, did the 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., all the masses, all the things. And when we were there, we figured it's nice for people to know that we're praying for them. So I was like, let's do a little video and send it to each one of them. And my wife is like, I don't want to do that. I want to be in video. I'm like, we're doing it. And so we took these little videos, send them to the people we're praying for. They're like, oh, thank you. Next day, literally 24 hours, like within 24 hours later, got a Facebook messenger. That's how we've been communicating with the person who's doing the prayer intentions for a little girl. And he said, hey, great news. They went in for the operation today. The doctor went for their pre-inspection, and he came out and said, I don't know what happened, but she doesn't need
shut
a liver
the front
anymore.
Door. Like, that miraculously is awesome. Healed.
And so we were like, whoa, that's awesome. But there were like a lot of people praying for her. And I'm like, that's coincidental. Like maybe like cool. Maybe we had something to do with that. Maybe a little bit. And then within, you know, an hour or two, something like that, I can show you the text message. I got a text from my friend who the day before said, oh, that's so nice of you to just send this video that you're praying for us. And then the next text message was, so we got a call last night as we were on our way to the airport, and there's a couple who gave their kid up for adoption without expecting it at the hospital, and they want us to adopt their kid.
Stop it.
Like, out of nowhere. And
praise God.
I found out about it later that it was Nowhere, Kansas. Sorry, Hayes. It's a not a very good town. But they hadn't had an adoption from that local town since the 90s. It's not how they did it. The couple didn't know that they wanted to do it until they were at the hospital and gave birth.
Wow.
And then the nurse, the doctors, it never happened. Like, what do we do? So they just went to like the office that was closed, and they had like Catholic Charities card, another card, and they called them, and then they called them, and she's like within 72 hours had a kid. She was there was no way we can
praise
explain this.
Praise God. That is so cool.
It was really cool. And then, like, for me, I was like, whoa. There was those two things and a couple of their smaller ones, but it was, like, in succession. It's like, whoa, first is a coincidence, second time is a trend, third is this right. happening. Fourth, wow. I'm like, Mary is real. And then that ended up preparing me then for a final prayer of, I'd been praying for a couple of years to bring my dad, like, closer and back into the faith and build a relationship with him. We had the unfortunate news that in October he had been diagnosed with cancer, and then he did pass away last year. But through that whole period, it became this sense of calm that knowing that Mary was there
right.
the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so it like gave me the confidence. And there were very clear moments that through that whole process of him kind of going to the Lord, that he actually, because I had the calm and like sense like, hey, Mary, help us and you're here with us. Mm-hmm. Our family started saying the rosary together when we never did that before. Started praying together, and he never really prayed like that with us before and said yes to all these different invitations. But it was, you know, Mary showing up in a couple miraculous ways. I think when my mom did the rosary for the first time by herself next to his bed, when he was one point where he almost was dying, the next day it like resolved itself. And then there's another time when he had like the most pain that he had, I would just like pray, like, just make the pain go away. Like, at this point, you know, he's not going to make it, but he had really bad pain. And we took him to the hospital. And when I just did the decade or rosary, I think it was a rosary, just like saying, just make the pain go away, just this one. And then when the doctor went away and rosary is done, she came back and there's a big bulge in his stomach. And it was like, it wasn't good that that was happening. But any other option of why the pain was coming, they wouldn't have been able to do anything about it. Because it's just like, it's just this other type of pain.
Right.
But this pain was, it was a blocked bladder. So the bladder was so big, it was creating a bulge there. But the blessing was that, oh, there's a clear remedy to this.
Right.
And so they were able to clear it and resolve pain. It was just like, and so all throughout this, Mary had been through the whole thing. And so I went from totally being like, I don't get you, Mary. Like, I get you're out there to like, Mary, you are my, you know, Your holy mother.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
And that Fati is beautiful. Mother too. That beautiful. Is so cool.
That really is
cool.
Awesome.
I am amazed, right, as I go on, and this is not to at all toot my own horn, right? I go on a lot of mission trips because I work at a high school. So I like run them. I have to. It's a job, right? And I am amazed at the transformative experiences that you see on some of these. I was in Walls, Mississippi with Mercy Missions, which is, do you know Mercy Missions?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you guys remember the little plastic dashboard Jesuses that were like a thing from the 70s?
Yeah.
That's from Mercy Missions, Sacred Heart Southern Missions, right? Wow. They're the ones who created that and pushed that in the 70s, the original dashboard Jesus.
That's I love that.
And we were in Mississippi, and very rural, very impoverished Mississippi, and we have all these high school kids, and they're up on roofs, roofing. They don't know how to roof, right? It's just all, it's just unskilled labor. There's like one guy who knows how to do it. And
OSHA present.
No OSHA, no, seriously. Like, it's not a safe working environment, right? But every time I've ever been, I'm amazed at the kids. The kids who are more difficult, who typically don't want to be there, who are on board, all about it. Literally last time, refused. Like, I had a mutiny on my hands because I was like, guys, we got to go. We're supposed to go into Memphis and eat barbecue. Like, we got to. So last day, we always go into Memphis. And I had kids who, you know, kids who I've had like discipline meetings with, kids who I've worried about their trajectory and their attitude for years, right? Saying, Mr. Finn, we're not going to go. We have to stay. We have to finish working on this house for this person who is surrounded by filth and all the desperate poverty. It's the coolest thing, right? Christ really does work in our hearts when we start to realize that we're not made for ourselves and we're made for other people. Yeah.
So I guess tying into that, like you said, with Mary, in me, it was like when I was in Italy, it was like a thing, Lanciano, it was the city, because we went, I want to say at least like six cities in Italy, and that church is one where the Eucharistic miracles happen.
Yes.
Totally. So for me to see, wow, like Christ is truly present, and I saw like the Eucharist, like the church, like seeing that, like there the Eucharist right on the altar, walk in, my eyes going to like seeing like Christ, you are truly present.
Yes.
And that church, they were explaining about the archangels.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going in that church and then asking the Lord, help me be humble, believe in you, despite all the mess that's going around.
Right.
And help me love others and love my family. And going now to Mass, because I have put it into practice, going to daily Mass.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Way to go.
So I know I've gone to daily Mass like my freshman year initially, but it felt so different when I came back into like going to the routine of going to daily Mass.
Right.
And there'll be times where I go to Mass, oh, like I feel like I'm not perfect, like, oh, I shouldn't go, because I had that kind of like into me, kind of like, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't go because I don't feel like I'm worthy enough. But then the Lord's like, church is like the medicine,
mm-hmm.
and I heard it, and heard it like this, like in Spanish, Dios es medicina. You go, like, it's like Mother Teresa was saying, you're sick, go to church, like, go in the adoration. And then for me, I sit down with the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what is happening, but you help me live up to your will, your son, and ask Mary's intercession.
I think you make a really good point, because, like, Mass is a pilgrimage. Like, it should be a pilgrimage. Right. I think that, to your question earlier, what's the point of pilgrimage? I really think that the point of pilgrimage is to prepare your heart for God to reveal himself to you in some way.
Sure.
Like, your experience of going to Mass and preparing for Mass is very similar. It should be similar for all of us, just like going the children of Fatima. Like, the angel showed up to them 6 months before Mary came and said, you need to prepare yourself. Pray the rosary every single day. Do these things, because you are not ready to encounter our mother. And it was only when they are ready and prepared, then God can present themselves. So I think to what you were saying about Mass and to what you were saying about locally, it's like, if we're not, like, we need to prepare our hearts for it. And even for, like, going to Mass, are you preparing yourself to, like, to sacrifice? Are you prepared to hear the listening? But if you're going on pilgrimage, you're doing the same thing. So once you're there, you're ready to receive him.
Well, I feel like the more mature I become in my faith, the more I realize that all the stuff that I dismissed sort of when I was more of a baby Catholic, right, as, oh, that's just emotion and that's just feeling, right? I'm realizing that actually that's what it's really all about. That's a recurring theme of the show that I've talked about 100 times, right? Of it's real great that we can sit here and have a super in-depth intellectual discussion about Thomistic philosophy or something, right? But at the end of the day, when we talk about our feelings and we talk about the way that God helps us to understand things that we can't explain logically, right? That's what Christ is doing. He's after our hearts. Mm. He's primarily after our hearts. It's great he gave us an intellect. It's great that we can use reason to uncover him and some truths of the faith. But ultimately, he doesn't care. He cares about your heart, because he's here. He's here for your heart. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and then to tie into that with our hearts, it brought me a, like, reminder, like the reconciliation, because we also went to adoration over there, and we had, like, confession over there with our... We had 3 priests on this pilgrimage, and it was, like, they're all from Venezuela, and it wasn't, like, formal, like, confession, but, like, we just grabbed the priest. But I remember outside, we were doing confessions at the parish, Our Lady of the Sacred Heart. When I went to, like, that, like, I kind of had two guts inside of me, like, should I go, should I not confess? And it's like, I've been holding on in my heart, and then the Lord made it happen.
Yeah, dude, grace is efficacious. That's what I always keep, sacraments are efficacious. Grace is a real thing, you really get it, and it really is transformative. So, just to change gears a little bit, and if you had something to say about the Camino that I want to make sure you say. Actually, we should probably talk about that first, because I want to talk about real practical ways, without spending thousands and thousands of dollars, that we can go on pilgrimages, that we can do missions tomorrow, right, that are around here, both organized and unorganized. I kind of want to end on that. But you were talking earlier off air about you said it was more of a lecture than a homily.
Yeah. We had a men's retreat after our Camino trip, with a lot of the guys from the trip that we went on, and the 2 priests that were leading us through each day. We had Mass with them each night. They actually were able to help celebrate Mass at each parish that we went to. We even had, like, a hostel Mass once at one of the albergues. It was really fun.
Oh, hostel with an E.
Yeah.
I was like, what's a hostel? It was really mean.
We had them lead us the whole time. One of them was, like, brand new to the state of Georgia, was about 2 weeks in before they were like, hey, you're going to Spain with these guys. So he was just as estranged as I was. Like, we had no idea who these people were that we were going with. And he was the one leading this lecture at the retreat, talking about how one of the things that was so cool about Camino, one of our slogans was Camino al Cielo, and I'm going to say that horribly, but it's something along the lines of, like, the way to heaven. This is our path to heaven. He said that this trip was a lot to him like a physical embodiment of what that path is like for us spiritually, that throughout the entire time, you know, you're going uphill, you're going downhill, some parts feel easier than others, but it's always best to know that you have brothers and sisters around you that can keep you on the way.
Right.
And that was really cool to learn that, because you're struggling the whole time. I mean, like, I saw a man in the 70s vlog the Camino, and I was like, oh, I've got this in the bag. And the first day, I was like, I'm not going to complete this. And the 70-year-old man is. I felt miserable.
Right.
And we had so many bumps and bruises. Everybody's all wrapped up in their ankles and their compression sleeves.
Awesome.
And the amount of blisters, I mean, was enough to just compile on one human alone. It was unreal. So one of the things that Father John had mentioned was, you know, you're doing this struggle the entire way. And then the path to heaven is a struggle. You know, it is narrow. Right. And it's hard. And when you get to the very end of your trip and you're at the walls inside of this Camino, inside of the Camino de Santiago, there are people at these restaurants that are standing up and cheering for you, that are applauding you. They don't know you at all. They're not your friends that you were hiking with.
Right.
Some of them were on the trip. Some of them are just people that are eating there. And yeah. they're like, you're almost there. He's like, that's what we're going to see when we're getting to the gates, is you're almost there.
So
the struggle
cool.
is almost completed.
Yeah.
And then you get past, we had this guy playing the bagpipe the last hallway before we saw the Basilica Arch Cathedral. Mm-hmm. And I don't like bagpipes. Like,
oh,
despite,
come on, Peter.
It's like you would. It's not my kilt. It's not my. It's not my go-to instrument. But that was the most heavenly sound I'd ever heard. Getting to that guy, and then like our priest was like, once we turned, we were in. We were there.
Right.
And everything felt worth it to that point. And so like all the people that were on the trip with you, you need them. All the people that are on that trip with you, they need you. And so the whole thing we did was this great analogy for our mission, which is the pilgrimage to heaven.
That's so cool.
And I thought that was the coolest revelation that he'd ever had. I mean, I was crying at a morning retreat, just like, this was amazing. I was there. It was still amazing to hear about it from him. So I liked that aspect of the pilgrimage too. It is whatever sufferings you had to, you can offer up as graces for those that need it, mm-hmm. for those people that are like, you know, need a kid, and then they get this miracle where they can have a kid that makes no sense, or they can be healed from a liver disease. And for me, I was going through stuff that was absolutely restored and healed during that time. It was just an amazing thing to be a part of, the path to heaven.
All right, so we got like 4 minutes left. Rapid fire. I don't know if you guys know if stuff is local and organized. I think you probably should start here, Alisa, because you've got something, a little pitch, don't you?
Yeah. Mustard Seed Communities Young Adult Trip in Jamaica.
Ooh.
And that's July 26th to August 2nd. And it's young adults at thequestatlanta.com, where you can sign up.
And we'll put that in the show notes. Yeah. I've got a good authority that is currently being put in the show notes as we speak. All right, what else? Does City on Purpose have anything? Do they do any mission work or any of that stuff?
We will. We're going to be, we just have houses around town right now, so they kind of, I like it because they, more subsidiarity, where they decide for themselves, mm-hmm. they kind of do their own mission pieces, but when we kind of get the larger building, we'll just be definitely partnering with organizations, which... Shout out, we will be partnering with local charities to have people who live in the building can help bridge the gap between charities that need volunteers and those who don't. But short-term shout out are, I think, the Mercy Missions. They do great things around town, especially around the holidays and Holy Week.
Awesome. Yeah. Anybody else? Anything local? I mean, in terms of unorganized things, or at least not organized that I know the name of right now, go to a soup kitchen; it'll change your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to be uncomfortable and do something that's out like that is not going to make you feel good in the moment, but you are going to be so glad that you did it. Go down and do a soup kitchen. Habitat for Humanity, mm-hmm. right? Big shout out to them always. I'm from Americus, right? We were always that's where Habitat International is founded, down in Americus, Georgia. They do great work. But once again, just to bring it back, go visit the guy who lives down the street and doesn't have anybody to talk to. Go to the cemetery.
Can I give an example of that I would love for people to follow is our across the street neighbor, you know, older couple. Most of people our age, I've learned that our generation, especially the ones even below me, they challenge with the situation of awkwardness. They just don't really want to get 100%. Awkward, which means that like you don't want to meet your neighbors, mm-hmm. especially when you get out of college.
Totally.
Let's say bridge that gap. Bridge the awkwardness and go meet your 60 and 70 year old neighbor. Because when I did that, there was a guy who his wife was Catholic. He was not. He was literally on his deathbed for the last few months. One of those situations where he's like, he could go tomorrow. He could go in 6 months.
Right.
We just got talking, drinking some whiskey. He's literally on the bed and we're just hanging out because we met her on the hiking trail and she happened to go to the same mass.
Cool. Yeah.
And it was through like by having those conversations to just say, he was like, well, I don't know about this. And I go, well, you know you're going to be dying soon. It was kind of awkward. He was like, have you ever thought about just, you know, getting an anointing of the sick or doing some of these things? He didn't, you know, go and convert, which, you know, I think there's different things, but he did. He said, yeah, I will get anointed in the sick. But it took, like, his wife, who didn't feel like she wanted him to do all these things, but she had just felt awkward bringing it up. And right. It just took an outsider to say,
and his spouse, we thought about that,
and the spouse was like, awesome. So, like, who knows what you could, like, bring to just, awesome, even if it's, like, mowing the lawn or whatever.
Well, and it's so just allowing yourself to be an instrument, right? Exactly. And that's all it is, right? We're not converting anybody. We're not saving souls, right, as individuals. It's allowing for us to be an instrument. And sometimes it's allowing us, by going forth for something like a pilgrimage, right, we're allowing ourselves to be an instrument for our own sake, right? Mm-hmm. And if you feel like God is calling you to do X, Y, and Z, do it. Big shout out in the last 30 seconds here to Mustard Seed and all that they do. If you want more information, I cannot recommend that you check that out highly enough. We had a bunch of our kids go recently from my high school. They had a great time. You got any closing thoughts? Exactly.
Contact information for Mustard Seed?
Oh.
She gave it out, or we got it in show notes, 100%.
Yeah, we are pretty much at time.
And just a
quick reminder to please comment, please share, please like, definitely subscribe.
This has been Ostagata, production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.